I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to Pink Floyd's Eclipse from the Dark Side of the Moon. I hope you saw the amazing solar eclipse yesterday. Eclipse, yes, eclipse. Today we'll try to match that brilliance with our conversation with Damaso Rodriguez, Artistic Director of Artist Repertory Theater. The 2017-2018 season is pretty stunning, relevant, and diverse. The season opens September 3rd with the edgy and likely controversial play An Octoroon. We'll hear all about their whole season, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. And I'll let you see, I'll let you taste all you feel. I'm Dimae Roberts, and with me in the KBOO studios, Damaso Rodriguez, Artistic Director of Artist Repertory Theater. Welcome back to Stage and Studio.
Glad to be back.
Did you catch the eclipse?
I did.
What was your eclipse moment?
We were at Lake Timothy Lake and surrounded by some people, and we had a... It was cool.
Oh, you actually made an event
out of it. We made an event out of it. My wife and the kids, we went out and we camped the night before.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty low key, actually, not too, not a huge crowd. And yeah, everyone screamed at the moment of totality.
Oh, there were a lot of people there too?
Just about 30 or 40 on the shore of the lake where we were.
Wow.
And it was, it was worthwhile.
Well, I just had a driveway moment with my husband, so it wasn't quite as exciting. But it was pretty. Did the stars come out for you, or how much did
we
it
wanted
do?
More stars? There were there were at
so
least
there were
two
some stars.
Stars. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot more than we had in Portland.
Yeah.
That's
it was
awesome.
Worth the drive.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's so cool to have you as the first guest after the solar eclipse. It's pretty momentous, and here's a segue. We'd like theater to have that totally immersive kind of experience. And it's often hard to do, because we are, you've got actors, you've got the lights, you've got, just the script and everything, you've got the audience kind of separated. But the new season of productions at Artist Repertory Theater, I think, tries to give that immersive experience. We want to, kind of go through that today and just find out more about that. But your tagline of the season is new, now, and necessary. What's behind that?
Well, it was really, the tagline came after we had assembled these seven plays, and we knew that the season was really leaning into our mission, which is to produce intimate, provocative theater, and we really found a collection of plays that we were driven as an artistic team and a staff to produce that were extremely relevant, like urgent, in fact. There was a need for these plays to happen, and they all feel like they're in conversation with what's happening at the moment that we were planning them. And this summer and all the events of this summer has really increased that urgency. But the truth is we planned these plays nearly a year ago.
But I think things have been building up since last year, definitely,
absolutely.
Especially after the 2016 election.
Yeah, that was what gave us the confidence maybe to make provocative and challenging choices.
Well, in the last 5 years since you took the helm of Artist Repertory Theater, it's become a full equity and Lort Theater. Mm-hmm. That's another change there. So, we're going to talk about the diversity in a moment, but what does that mean to a theater to have that?
To become a Lort Theater?
Yeah.
Well, Lort is the League of Resident Theaters. There's a little over 70 of these theaters across the country, and they all are agreeing essentially to produce at the same standards, which means the same union contracts with the various unions, Actors Equity and the directors and the designers unions. And we're a Lort D theater, which is based on our size, and a theater with 2,000 seats could be a Lort A theater, for example. So it's really, I think, represents the full professionalization of Artist Rep operationally. So we rehearse our plays 10 to 6 or 9 to 5 during business hours, and everyone's there when they're on contract is getting health insurance weeks and being paid a full-time
salary.
So it's
bringing the level of, when we talk about equity too, also, financial equity too. I mean, it's bringing the level up to a working wage for artists.
Yes, theoretical. I mean, we want, it ought to be more, but at least it's up to the standard that's agreed upon by the field, at least, as the minimum. And I think what I like about it, aside from the fact that it feels right to do that, and this, the theater's always wanted to grow to this place, is the kind of focus that you can put into the work in a rehearsal process where people are not distracted by day jobs.
Well, for the last 5 years, you've also worked to, create more, I guess, inclusive a diverse and equitable culture at Artist Rep. I think you were quoted as saying you want that this play that you're doing right now in Octoroon, that you're co-directing with Lava Alapai, that has created an opportunity for you to confront your own relationship to the institution of racism and to move forward together urgently at the ongoing task of creating that inclusive, diverse, and equitable culture at Artist Rep. How does that tie in? We'll talk about An Octoroon in a second, but how does the play tie into that culture that you're creating?
Sure. Well, there has been a desire for diversity, and in recent years, these three words have become really taken on by the theater field and many
all the arts institutions and the funders as well. Equity, inclusion, and diversity,
and stated in different orders, but it's really been embraced. I would say a few years ago there was disagreement around the country as to which words were being used and what that really meant, and I think we're all still figuring it out. But since I got here, my instincts are to create as much diversity on stage as possible in terms of who's telling the stories. Starting first with the playwrights, and now working essentially, that usually affects immediately who's on stage. But there's a challenge in our field behind the scenes, right? How do we diversify backstage, creative teams, administrative teams? Our theaters in a field that has predominantly been white and also led by white males always. And that's still statistically true across the field, but we're trying to change that. So how do you change this system? And we've hit and missed in our efforts. I mean, there's always been a steady goal, but maybe a sort of wishful thinking that things would change organically if you just change the plays. But how do you change a culture? It has to be much more urgent. And I think we're finally getting to a place where we're getting more aggressive and vocal about our desire to change our culture at Artist Rep, and that's happening across our field. The thing about An Octoroon is that the play is so challenging and confronts race and racism and in our history, a racist heritage is set in the antebellum South, but it is also a very famous and popular play from that period. This is a hugely successful piece of theater from the 19th century, and it presents what the 19th century worldview was to a certain extent. And so in order to do this play, which is a radical adaptation, it's a deconstruction of this play by Dion Boursicault called The Octoroon, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, early 30-something African-American playwright, just deconstructs the play. And in doing so, the play is performed largely the way it was originally, which was performed in blackface and redface for the Native American characters. And what he does is, Brandon does, is that he puts all of the leading male white roles are played by a version of himself, an actor playing the playwright, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, in whiteface. So this is extremely controversial and extremely distressing and unsettling when you experience it in the moment.
Yeah. I actually have a clip from Brendan, mm-hmm. and he's a MacArthur Fellow. He won a MacArthur Fellowship in 2016, and he's only 32, but I do have a clip with him on their site and for his motivation for writing An Octoroon. Let's hear that.
I have a play called An Octoroon, which was an adaptation or radical adaptation of a melodrama from 1859, like an actual melodrama set on a slave plantation. What's amazing about melodrama is it's the science of theater, whereas like a bunch of French guys, they basically mapped out how to make an audience feel the same thing over time. I would say that all of my work is sort of fed by a question. It's fed by a need to like understand the world and why the world is what it is and why I feel the way I feel in the world. And I think that I really believe in the power of this form. You want to incite connections. You want people to leave the theater looking at life differently. But at the most elemental level, all I want is for people to leave with something to mull over, you know, and leave with the bravery to actually try to connect, try to understand, you know, to see each other in each other.
And that was playwright Brandon Jacob Jenkins talking about his play in Octoroon. And you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. My guest is Damaso Rodriguez, Artistic Director of Artist Repertory Theater. And if you missed any of this interview so far, hear it at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Artist Rep's 35th season opens with An Octoroon by MacArthur Fellow Brandon Jacob Jenkins, and it's co-directed by Damaso Rodriguez, my guest here, and Lava Alapai. Preview September 3rd with the official opening September 9th. The show will run through October 1st. So, yeah, it's Plantation era, and it's biting satire, and you've got a playwright character who is supposed to be Brandon Jacob Jenkins playing it in, you know, as a white person. Mm-hmm. And it really does, you know, seem like it is so loaded with so many things that could go wrong, especially now with all the issues and the rallies that just happened over these Confederate statues and the protests, and also just the riot that broke out and the killing. So how do you frame all of this in this context that is so volatile right now?
Yeah. Well, really, the play presents us as a theater company with a challenge, which is we cannot even begin to do this work, this play, without really reflecting on what our values are, what our intentions are behind doing the play, and then creating a safe space for the artists who are coming in to make this play. A safe space meaning that they understand that the theater's intentions are the right intentions, and that I think that their voices, especially the artists of color in the play, are represented. And so it just kind of... Why lead a season with it? Well, first of all, did you hear his description of how he describes the intention of his way into a play and what he hopes the audience will experience? Certainly, that's the intention behind An Octoroon. But wouldn't that be an amazing experience to come out of any theater experience? And I think that's what we strive for with all of our productions.
And I assume you're going to be having talkbacks after this.
There's going to be some talkbacks, but sometimes you just have to.
To let it sit.
I think it's going to force reflection and conversation. So, we've been 2 weeks into rehearsal, and the first weekend of rehearsal, like our fifth or sixth day, we all it was the morning after the incident in Charlottesville, and we just had to like spend some time talking about how we felt, and that has been part of the process. My co-director Lava Alapai brought in from day one, which was a check-in, what are you going to leave out of the room, and what do you want to bring into the room? And that has resulted in a real unity in the cast doing this really electric, volatile work.
Well, the cast is very diverse. It has Joe Gibson, Michael Mendelsohn, John San Nicolas, Alex Ramirez, DeCruz, Jocelyn Seed, and is it Seed or Sade?
Seed.
And Ayana Berkshire and Jimmy Garcia, Kaylee Rhodes. Artist Repertory Theater presents An Octoroon by Brandon Jacob Jenkins, co-directed by Damaso Rodriguez and Lava Alapai. The play runs September 3rd through October 1st. All shows are at the Alder Stage at Artist Repertory Theater, located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street. And for tickets, call 503-241-1278 or email boxoffice@artistrep.org or visit artistrep.org. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So this is Stage and Studio. We're talking to Damaso Rodriguez, Artistic Director of Artist Rep, about their 2017-2018 season. I want to highlight the rest of the season. But first, full disclosure here, the next production after An Octoroon in your season is called Caught, and I'm actually involved in that. So I can't say too much about that. So it's, but all I can say is that it's a mix of art, installation, and live theater that features Asian artists, and I'm acting in it. And very exciting, because I haven't done that in about 12 years. You know, it's been a while since a full production. But I also can say that Caught opens with previews October 1st and runs through October 29th. After Caught, you are directing again, and it's The Humans, and that is by Stephen Karam. Is that right, Karam? Mm-hmm. And it's a Tony Award-winning play on Broadway, which won a ton of awards, mm-hmm. that you're directing. And it's let's have a quick overview of that, because that's November 19th through the December 17th.
Sure. Well, I just want to say I'm glad to have you on stage at Artist Repertory Theater. The Humans is so Kot is very unconventional, and Octoroon is a very unconventional play. They're both experimenting with form, what theater is, and they're both kind of puzzles the audience has to figure out how to experience the play. And The Humans masquerades, I think, is something more traditional. It is hyper realistic. It's played out over 90 minutes in one scene. And it's a family gathering for Thanksgiving dinner in Manhattan at the apartment of the youngest daughter, a 20-something. And the family comes in from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and they gather together and they have this kind of awkward but very recognizable family dinner on paper plates and plastic cups. And what I think is so special about the play in White Caught Fire, first of all, it's very funny because you recognize these people in your family. Like, there's just all the kind of family discomfort, dysfunction. There's a lot of humor in that. You know, everyone sort of brings their problems to the table.
It's interesting you're having this during, like, you know, the holiday season, and everybody can relate to this mm-hmm. awkward family stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also at the heart of it too. It just seems like there's so many hidden stories and little sufferings that each of the characters are going through that nobody really talks about.
That's right. Which I think is a lot of what we do in these families gatherings. We kind of put that stuff that's too uncomfortable
aside. We try to
aside.
Get through it and just get through the meal, right?
Yeah. And so just what I think is special about the play, it's, you know, witty dialogue and great characters and a lot of truth in it, is it somehow captures the anxiety of a 2016 certain kind of middle class family. I feel it's almost a document in the same way that maybe an Arthur Miller play captured the certain kind of American anxiety of the 40s or the 50s. This play could be done 50 years from now, and you might have a sense of really what it was like to be alive during this time. Yeah.
So that's November 19th through the December 17th. And we're going to go through these actually mm-hmm. a little bit quicker because we're running out of time. Artist Rep is also doing Magellanica, and I really do want to talk about this. It's E.M. Lewis, and it's an epic play, and you're also directing that. And it's going to be an unusual experience because it's like 5 hours long. There's a dinner break. It's like, that's immersive to me. You're committing to a long time.
You're going
with this play. It's almost Shakespearean, what they used to do with the Shakespeare, you know, 4 hours you're eating in between and, you know. Yeah.
And I like that the subject matter, it encourages this. It's the experience of seeing the play is kind of a metaphor for the play itself. The characters are on an 8.5 month science expedition in Antarctica in 1985, and when you winter in Antarctica, you can neither leave or
you're
go
stuck
for that amount of time.
Yeah.
And so you go on a journey with these people, you get to know them, and I think you'll do the same thing with those people sitting around you.
Well, it sounds fascinating to me, and again, that's a diverse cast, and they're all playing scientists, which I'm also very excited about. And then between Riverside and Crazy, that runs March 4th. Oh, Magellanica, I want to remind people, is January 20th through February 18th, and which is cold, so mm-hmm. and there you go, Antarctica. Between Riverside and Crazy, that's March 4th through April 1st, and can I say who's starring in that one?
Yeah,
because it's Kevin Jones.
It's Kevin Jones.
I love Kevin Jones. And he's, of course, with August Wilson Red Door Project, the founder of it, co-founder of it. And it's he plays a retired cop who was shot by a white rookie cop. And that's certainly topical, considering everything, you know, especially in Portland with racial profiling being, you know, up there in topics regarding Portland police. So tell us more about this. And, you know, it seems like it's a no-brainer to choose this.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won the Pulitzer Prize in 2015. He plays Pops, and Pops is holding out for a settlement from the city, trying to get a better deal than what they're willing to offer. And while he's holding out, he lives in his apartment on Riverside Drive in Manhattan, and he is surrounded by friends and family members. And there's just something, if you've seen any of the work by Stephen Adler Gerges, it's like he writes this language that sounds naturalistic and modern, but it's really at a level of poetry. And it's just really, really funny and really, really true and honest. And
it's got Kevin Jones.
It's got Kevin Jones in a great role.
And so after that is the Thanksgiving play by Larissa Fasthorse. The play is supposedly, you know, progressive white people trying to be respectful to Native American culture during Thanksgiving and that controversy. But I believe this is going to be the second play by a Native American writer in Oregon. I don't know. Because the first one, at least at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, was Off the Rails by Randy Reinholz, mm-hmm. which was a spin on Shakespeare's Measure for Measure and taking the Indian boarding school history. But is this the first play that Artists Repertory Theater has done by a Native American writer?
I would have to look into
it. Because I believe it is.
Yeah. But I know that at the moment that, right around the time that the Thanksgiving play is running, Oregon Shakespeare Festival will have another play called Nanahata by a Native American writer. And then.
Portland Center Stage is doing one too. So it's about time, for all of this to happen. And I don't know, you might check the history books for Artists Rep too, because I believe that Cott, which has playwright Christopher Chen's involvement in it mm-hmm. as the playwright, I think that's the first Asian play at Artists Repertory Theater, Asian American play. I don't know. We'd have to check on that.
We'll have to check it out, but it's about time.
It's about time. And then closing Artists Repertory Theater. Oh, Thanksgiving play runs April 1st through April 29th. And then closing Artists Repertory Theater season is I and You. And that is about two teens who become friends through a school project about Walt Whitman's poems. Mm-hmm. So is young person play? Tell us more.
Yeah, it features two 17-year-olds. Yeah. I mean, played by actors. It was very young professional actors in their early 20s. And that play is another play that kind of represents itself as a simple kind of setup, maybe something you've seen before, two opposites forced together. But it has this amazing revelation, almost spiritual, cosmic quality that you take away with you when you leave the theater, that's made it one of the most produced plays in the country in the last few years.
Oh, it really has?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. So INU closes Artist Rep season. It runs May 20th through June 17th. And you can find out more at artistrepertorytheater.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Well, you know, Damaso, we did a quick overview. That's pretty amazing. And in the time remaining, I'm actually going to ask you about what we kind of started off the conversation with, about continued efforts for equity, inclusion, and diversity artist rep. As a Latino artist from Los Angeles, you came here a little over 5 years ago to start working as the artistic director. What's been the biggest challenge regarding EID or equity, inclusion, diversity?
I think... Well, the first challenge is always that it's just hard to make theater happen at all, right? There's all sorts of obstacles in the way of just doing the very basics, which are making plays happen, finding funding, finding an audience. So it's easy to get, it's really to just cut up in the basics, and it's hard to do something that is more long-term change and maybe forces you to disrupt the way in which you've been operating that maybe was easier to operate that way, right?
That's a good point, because it changes things, right? Mm-hmm. And change is always, though good, can be very difficult.
Yeah. And I think just for me as a new person and as an outsider 5 years ago, just kind of getting to know the landscape while you're also getting to know a pretty huge job. And we produce a lot of theater. And for example, I didn't know about the history of Oregon, and I just knew of, Portland, for example, is the buzz was, oh, it's the whitest big city in America, but it takes a little time, especially if I didn't arrive trying to answer, well, why is that? So I didn't know the history of Oregon, and I know that has come out more recently, and it's actually kind of went viral, unfortunately, recently after the incident the Max, and now people are more aware of it. So it's just kind of being new and getting more to the bottom of what the community is here, what the scene is like here. Mustering up finally, I think, and I say finally because it took me a while, and only really recently in the last several months in advance of the season, we said, let's take some efforts behind the scenes in terms of, we've been working with Kevin Jones of the Red Door Project. We had some workshops for our staff and board. We had an anti-racism workshop this summer put on by YWCA, just where we really start at that level. Let's talk about it, right? Let's talk about our processes, the culture and climate that we are trying to make this work in, and reflect on our personal relationship to racism or structures that are in place that have kind of kept our staff or our audience or our playwrights, looking relatively the same or coming from this similar backgrounds for decades.
Well, would you say that the biggest thing that a theater could do is just to create opportunity? Because I feel like there has been so much flight from, especially theater artists of color, from Portland, as opposed to attracting more theater artists of color,
yeah.
Especially in the last, five years or so. So creating opportunity, does it begin there?
I think so, creating the opportunity and also reminding yourself and everyone, for me as an artistic director, that diversity is exciting, right? It's just exciting and rewarding and worth making some changes to get there.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate taking the time to do that and, continuing. I think it's also just continuing to learn, isn't it? Because, nobody's there yet.
You're never there.
People are close and getting closer, but it's just never there. And maybe it never will be, and you have to just keep working
at it.
Right. I do want to make a correction, because I said something about Christopher Chen being the first Asian American. I forgot. I had a play at Artist Repertory Theater, Picasso in the Backseat. So I'm an Asian American playwright. So there, I corrected myself.
I'm going to make sure I know that next time I'm asked.
So, it's been great talking to you. It's always great talking to you. Anything else you want to close with? Anything, any final statements?
Just that I think this is, if you're interested in experience, theater going as an experience that, back to our Eclipse, right? It's the kind of thing that can only happen in that room with that group of people, and it'll never be quite the same again. These plays this year are going to give you something to talk about, something to reflect on, and I think they're just really exciting. If you're curious, come to the theater.
And I think that's a good point. No one performance is going to affect people the exact same way, and it depends on the people that are watching it.
That's right.
It really does, and what's happening around at that time. So it's a very good point, It keeps changing in of itself every single performance.
That's right.
Damaso Rodriguez, Artistic Director of Artist Repertory Theater, thank you again for joining me for the Day After the Eclipse show. It's
Thanks
good to talk with
me.
You and for telling us about your 2017-2018 season, and happy season opening for An Octoroon starting September 3rd. Before we go today, I do have an announcement. I'll be taking a leave from stage and studio for the next 2 months so I can focus on my work as a theater artist at Artist Repertory Theater's production of Caught. Not to worry, though. Guest hosts Susanna Marr, Sarika Mehta, and James Dixon will be covering for me on stage and studio, so you're going to have lots of fun. That's it for today. Thanks to cable engineer Tave Fache Drake. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org or kabu.fm/stageandstudio. You can also download shows at iTunes, and don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_n_studio or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. Let's go out with more of Pink Floyd's Eclipse from the Dark Side of the Moon. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts.